We will call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting at 8:46 on the clock for Wednesday, July 5th, 2017. We will start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hope everybody had a good Independence Day.
Yes.
Got all your fingers? Put them up.
Usually I hear Gus saying put them up.
Opens meeting act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Hill, Thorne, Lytle, and Tiemann. Consent agenda. One is the general agenda. Two is approved minutes of the meeting held June 21st, 2017. Approve all claims through July 5th, 2017 in the amount of $469,980.37. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve letter for management responsibilities in assisting with financial audit by Schultz & Associates. Approve permit number 1069 for Windstream Nebraska, Inc. to plow 486 feet of new cable 4 foot deep in north shoulder of the road to replace temporary cable on East Sargent Road, east of South 80th Road, located in the southwest fourth of Section 23, Township 4 North, Range 7 East, Logan Township.
Move to approve consent agenda as presented.
Second. Motion by Tiemann, second by Lytle. Vote. 5-0 in favor. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Did you have anything, Walker, you wanted now, or otherwise we'll wait with you later?
Later by meaning like a month?
Yeah, and when you're scheduled. No, okay.
Does anybody have any questions for me? Economic development?
No. Want to give us a rough overview of anything that's going on? Or?
I can just talk quick. And I'll still give you my quarterly report in next time we're on the schedule, okay. But... Geez, what about being on the spot, right? I guess we had a couple awesome groundbreakings or ribbon cuttings lately with Duonix and World Lawn. I think some of you folks were both at both of those. Really good events. We had the governor down here 3 times in like a week and a half. So I feel like if we have enough good things to put on his radar, there's good things going for us. We're just kind of cranking away, I guess, on small business stuff and some transition things. One of the things we're kind of working on is a new kind of marketing campaign. If you probably saw some drones flying around and some people shoot a bunch of video during homestead days, that was us. We're going to put together some videos and things, and it stemmed from kind of industrial site kind of video to what we think we really need is more kind of people recruitment. And there are a lot of cool things that happen. People don't always remember all the cool things that are happening around here. So we said, let's shoot some video and just kind of have some videos where people can kick off meetings or some brochures that we can hand out to potential residents and say, here are the fun things that we're doing, and kind of reminds us all that there's cool things happening all the time. There's young families moving home. And so we're going to do a bunch of video series to make people excited and kind of pumped up. So, actually, we're just going to stage another shoot, I think a photo shoot here next week. So kind of all the way into the fall, I think we're going to try to capture lots of things. We got homestead days. We're going to catch the fair and the golf tournament. And then in the fall, we'll try to get some football and basketball and things like that.
So. Good deal. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you much. Committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights. Yeah, I talked to Dave out in the hall, and Dave didn't say he had anything other than I. Yeah. Equalization. And I don't think nothing there. We have that. Yeah. There is a public notice that you handed out to us that we do have here on the 19th. So, finance insurance. Later on, we're going to talk agenda. On agenda, we're going to talk. Budget.
I'll just do as always and read the highlighted ones. Okay. Road fund, Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $39,177. Rock on, Township Gravel and Hauling, $10,000. 757. Engage, Gage Area Growth Quarterly Funding, $35,201. That's the big ticket items.
Human Resources, Employee Relations, nothing.
Didn't have anything wrong. Nothing.
Law Enforcement, Emergency Management.
Was Tim going to be up here?
You know, I thought he was, but I don't know. Do you want to? Do you know?
I haven't heard anything from anybody.
He was going to be.
Downstairs.
Yeah, call down to him. We can wait. Yeah. Yes, you want to cover yours a little bit? Or you want to go? You're going to check?
Okay.
Why don't we skip past that new road and bridge while we're waiting?
Okay, road and bridge. Yep.
The dirt crew and the asphalt crew both cleaned up storm damage after the storm. The dirt crew is doing shouldering the PWF road. The asphalt crew has been doing some milling and patching, and the bridge crew has been repairing some culverts. There was a tree that went down in an abandoned cemetery in Paddock Township that Galen looked at, and Galen's doing some follow-up, and I'm going to do some follow-up on that, too, as far as getting that tree out of there. Galen went over the projects that Minnelli wants to submit to the state for the bridge match program. There was one that would possibly be replaced with a bridge, three projects that would be replaced with box culverts, and three projects that would be replaced with culverts. And these were all on the bridge match program, or these are all on the state division list as far as the bridges. Going to put out bids on July 19th for the box culvert project east of 9 Glenwood. That's a state bridge match program. Galen had some discussion on the budget, discussion on the Hickory Road railroad crossing. There'll be paint striping the 34 miles that was armor coated this spring, and Galen wanted to add 5 miles to that project of roads that were needing it additionally. Had a report of a noxious weed, and Galen had traffic counts on the Highland Township and Apple Road. And Galen gave us an update on the Ellis road project, the box culvert. Have they poured that or not?
They're scheduled to pour it this morning at 10 o'clock.
Pour this morning. Sounds good. That's it.
Anything else? Road and bridge? Law enforcement, emergency management.
Okay. Well, Monday morning we had, Tim had an announcement that he was wanting to bring forward, and I guess, Tim, if you'd like to take the mic, I'd...
Morning. It was morning. Friday.
Friday, yeah.
But that's okay. I turned in my resignation. I don't have it in front of me. But
if you'd like to read it, go ahead. I think it's appropriate for you.
Dear Gage County Board Supervisors, I am writing to inform you that I'll be resigning from Gage County Emergency Management. My last day of work will be July 14th. 2017. I would like to thank you for having me as part of your community. I'm proud to have worked for Gage County. I appreciate the time and patience you have shown me. Please acknowledge this letter is my official notice of resignation. I will do my best to ensure that all my projects are completed and ensure a smooth transition. I have been fortunate to have been part of Gage County, and I wish the community well.
Well, I'd like to thank you for the time and effort and everything you did for us, and all the things you've done for Gage County. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that very much. And like I said, Friday you kind of caught us off guard with this, I guess. So
yeah,
we were dumbfounded. We were speechless. Not knowing, we didn't know what to say to you.
Right.
So, but thank you.
It wasn't intended to be that way. Just
okay. No.
There's just a lot of things going on. Don, come down to speak to me a little bit. We talked about the storm some.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to hand out some things that come from Brian Smith, who is the exact title is.
he's one of our head forecasters that the emergency management deals with. It kind of explains
about their damage assessment. After storms like that come through, where there's excessive damage, and the, obviously there was threat of tornado, obviously we had a tornado warning at that point, but they come down and try to assess, and it gives them better clues of what their radar and what their forecasts has from where they see the big picture. And so they also base a lot of information from the public, and it's nice to have the public actually send them pictures or send them evidence of what they've seen, hail, winds, funnel clouds, tornadoes, or whatever. They like to see that information. That can always be sent up to the National Weather Service in Valley. That's who services our area. But he kind of went through some several things on what they saw and kind of explains what their decision was with the straight line winds and the effects of that. They also talked in here about spin-ups, tornado spin-ups, and what those are. It could be like gustnadoes, what they are called. They're actually look like dust devils, that type of stuff, where they do have some destructive winds in them, and they do have that spinning motion. Or they can also be where a tornado, there was reports of funnel clouds, and it could be where a tornado for an instant comes down, just touches the ground for a second, then recedes back up. And those type of what they call spin-ups. They didn't truly, from one of the areas they saw, they didn't see evidence of a long tornado path through our area. And they based it on what they saw with how the damages, most of the damages were laying. It was pretty consistent with the winds laying trees and limbs and building debris straight towards the south-southeasterly, you know, direction. That's about the best they can do from what they saw. Obviously, they weren't on the ground at that point whenever storms come through, so they can't based on that. And if there was no reports of tornadoes on the ground from the public, so it was kind of, yeah, do with what you can with what they have.
By his letter, though, here, it sounds like some people were unhappy that he didn't call some of them tornadoes or whatever, yeah.
Yep. And, like, there's a lot of questions with insurances and stuff like that where they, I don't know, number four says, wind shouldn't matter to the people with insurance policies. Most insurance policies cover all wind peril. That may be some fly-by-night companies that specifically state tornado peril, but those are extremely rare. So, you know, I guess if your insurance company maybe just specify only tornado or not tornado, then I think that would be something that maybe we could or someone could talk to about their insurance policies. I don't know about that, but it was pretty interesting, you know, reading it. It kind of explains what those straight line winds can do, and during this time of the year. You get it's a little bit more later on, you know, kind of mid July towards August, where we really have these downburst winds because of the tornado threat is still there, but it lessens as the summer goes on, and what we normally see is those heavy drops of rain that come down, you know, really hard and real fast, and that's where that gust of wind comes from, that force of that rain coming down and pushing that air outward. So I thought maybe you guys were interested in reading that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't have much.
In addition, I'd like to wish you well down the road as
thanks.
Future.
I appreciate it.
Yep. As Myron said, thanks for the efforts and good luck.
Yep. Hope it was good enough.
Do you have anything planned, or are you just...
No, not right now yet. Okay.
No, wish you well and stuff, and thank, like I said, thank you for your time and how you helped the county and everything like that. So thank you much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thanks, Tim.
Anything else for law enforcement emergency management? I don't think you had anything, really.
What? You're shaking your head already. I was just going to ask if we had any accidents or anything over the 4th that you know of, or pretty uneventful and safe.
Probably one of our better ones. We did have, I think, some mental health issues with some calls for service. We had to transport some people, but overall, I think no real serious accidents, nothing but fatalities. That's always something we hold our breath on for this time of year. But otherwise, it wasn't too bad. I haven't got a chance to go back. Look, I think we're at 43 or 44 in the jail. I don't know how many of those came in from the result of the holiday, but that's pretty much a steady number for us anymore, it seems like. So, wasn't too bad.
That's good news if there's not any, any real accidents.
That's right. That's the very good news. Absolutely.
Yes. Next on the agenda, Lisa Wiegand, discuss visitors improvement grant application.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Pretty simple this morning, but we had the opportunity to hear from the Homestead Trails Association, who had applied for grant funding for improvements and enhancements towards Chief Standing Bear Trail. And so I believe you all got a copy of the actual application, but what it's for the stone markers. Keep in mind that 19 and a half miles serves Beatrice, Holmesville, and Barnston. And so these would be stones that would be placed at those perimeters, and also for bike repair stands and promotional materials that was approved by the advisory board. As we continue to look south, we know that the enhancements will, with the average of people that do call in to the office, they're all looking for where's your nearest trailhead or hiking and so forth, especially with the eclipse coming in. On the average, I know I filled about 30 calls a day between emails and also between phone calls. Just trying to get the information out. And they're always asking, what all does our community have to offer? And it seems like health is one of those things, and this enhances all those improvements, too. So that enthusiasm will continue. And so this particular project really adds to, you know, some of that completion process. It's being applied for by the Homestead Conservation and Trails Association, and it's for $7,500. The funding right now in that account is right at $208,000. And I think we have a payment to come out very soon with an application almost completed, too. So that's kind of where we're at. But the total project was for $15,000. They plan on doing some plantings and so forth of some native grasses around the stones and also adding some enhancements themselves. So, but
that's basically from Beatrice down to...
Right.
Holmesville,
then. To Barnston. Well,
it's to the state line. The trail is to the state line, but the markers are...
The markers are for our communities in Gage County. So, but... And, you know, I think those efforts, what I'm amazed at is the number of people now that are adopting areas. You know, how do you maintain those areas? So now there's groups coming forward saying, we'll adopt these 2 miles, for instance, you know, pick up trash. But there's letters of support. You have letters of support by people that use the trail almost every day. And they're your watchdogs out there, too. But, yeah, organizations are coming forward and pledging, you know, 4-H groups and so forth that are pledging, let's keep it clean. And normally they don't have much, you know, other than tree limbs, especially after the storm, but those types of cleanups. But anyway, questions on it?
This does meet all the requirements of the that you have for the grants, right?
It meets
all requirements, right?
Yes, it is correct. It is being recommended by the advisory board. And so they are asking for your recommendation to move forward with it and your approval. So, and the goal would be to hopefully have the stones in place by eclipse time, too. So that gives the proper identification at some of the communities.
You'd be surprised. While I was out on the trail, you'll find people from – I found a lot of people from Lincoln come down here. Mm-hmm. People up from Kansas. Some people were bike riders from out west. They brought like a little convoy of people over, and they just go around the state and ride ride bikes on these trails. I mean, if you're not a biker, it probably seems kind of different, I guess. It kind of seemed different to me, but that's their hobby or whatever they do is go around and ride on these trails.
The important part, too, is, you know, if you drive through the hotels, you'll see a lot of them right now have their bike racks on the backs. And, you know, when they're there, they're continually using those, or either they're broke down in the back of their, you know, vehicles, and they'll put them together. So it's not my choice. I'd rather have a motorized bike, but anyway. But, yeah, the whole logistics of it is that, you know, it will enhance the whole southern part and continues those efforts of the Ponca Tribe. You know, one other thing is the Ponca Tribe, they're working on the National Historical Designation for that trail. So if they would get that, it's a long step process. If they would actually get that, then they could be placed on the map. That puts Gage County on the map. Again, if it would be a historical trail established. So, but. Okay.
Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove the Visitors Improvement Grant for Homestead Conservation and Trails Association in the amount of $7,500.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Hill. Any more discussion? Vote. 5-0 in favor.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you. Next up, approve or disapprove interlocal agreement Richardson, Nemaha, Pawnee, Johnson, and Gage County for cost sharing of the bailiff position for the district judge Julie Smith, First Judicial District.
Region 5.
Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped one. We'll back up a minute. Never mind what I just said then. Approve or disapprove fiscal year 17-18 agreement between Gage County and the Region 5 systems for emergency protective custody services.
Alan. So moved.
No. Second.
Did we have a motion on the other one, though? Nope. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah,
motion by Tima and seconded by Hill. Roger, you want to update us a little bit on that one?
Basically what this is in the past we've had an ongoing practice of working with the other counties when we share district judges, and this basically
this is region five.
I'm sorry,
this region. I skipped one too. Okay. Or I guess maybe Dawn needs to do this on this one then.
Okay,
but yeah, this is emergency protective custody though.
Basically, this is for when we have EMC services needed through law enforcement. Just what Gus was talking about a little bit ago, they provide those services via this contract. And quite frankly, Region 5 helps facilitate that by having one agreement with all the entities. So basically it's statutory, and they provide us with a place for these folks to go.
And it's for a one-year agreement, July 1st through June 30th of 2018.
This is an agreement we've done for several years.
I didn't have the old one. Did it go up any?
I think it went up just a little bit, if I recall what they were saying.
Well, this one has a minimum charge of $191 will be assessed for any length of stay, 24 hours or less.
They didn't say that they increased it, but it's not much if it is in the increase. I think I sent both of those things to you, but I don't remember. Either way, I know it's less than what it is. They go to Brian or
something. Right. The other thing, and again, it's one of those situations where basically we need to provide it. We don't have very many options, and these folks have been real good to work with. So I would recommend the board that we go ahead and continue our relationship with them.
Any more discussion? If not, vote 5-0 in favor. Oh, the ones of us that were here. And next up, approve or disapprove interlocal agreement with Richardson, Nemaha, Pawnee, Johnson, and Gage County for cost sharing of the bailiff position for the district judge, Julie Smith, First Judicial District. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle and seconded by Juergens. Now, Roger, go ahead.
Again, this basically puts into writing an agreement that's been out there for some time as far as sharing the bailiff from the east side judge, which was Judge Bryant until recently. I think they realized we didn't have a written MOU and we needed one, an interlocal agreement. So that was put together and circulated. And again, you'll see the Gage County pays 25% of that bailiff's salary and benefits pursuant to this agreement. And that's basically the same as what we've had in the past. And that's based on the caseload which that judge will take and has been doing, quite frankly.
Does this bailiff carry a gun? Does this bailiff...
I'm going to resist so many things I could say. And
does this bailiff offer any support to the judge so that it takes load off of our sheriff's department while they're in the court?
When they're over here, Mr. Davison and Jim take care of that protection.
So I think he needs this bailiff is more like a secretary.
This bailiff's a secretary. Why do we call him a bailiff?
I can't honestly tell you that. But I mean, it is basically a position that's recognized by the Supreme Court and the judiciary. And in years ago, quite frankly, the clerk of the district court did a lot of that stuff. And then the caseloads just continued to grow and grow to where that person couldn't handle it. But I honestly can't tell you which judge. It probably was under Judge Rice. Because I think Ms. Faber.
I think Judge Corson created the bailiff here with Diane. It was the first one we had here in our county.
I think you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
And that was about the same time they did it across the state too.
Yeah.
More discussion. Vote 5-0 in favor. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove a 1% increase for load on restricted funds.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Hill, second by Juergens. We'll have Don explain this, but basically we're allowed a 2.5% asking increase each year.
Yeah, can you do
it? And what this is, we're also allowed another 1%, but it has to be by a supermajority vote of the board to allow that. This is basically what we'd call a housekeeping issue more than anything, so that as we go through our budget process, if we need to, that is available to the board to use that then. If we don't approve it, then at some time it we couldn't use it or whatever. So that's basically what we're doing here with this. So that doesn't mean that we will use that. It doesn't mean where a budget will be set at or anything, but this is kind of a more of a housekeeping item than anything. So.
And it hasn't been used for a long time, has it?
No. Yep. Well, we might have went just a little bit over last year, 2.5%.
But have to look. It could have been last year.
I think last year we were at 2.6 or 2.7 or something and everything. So that would have been the 1 year. Otherwise, it hadn't been used since I know Terry and I have been on the board. It hadn't been used. But it's another one of those that we do, to be able to use it, we as a board have to approve this. So.
I apologize. I did not get Rick Nation on the agenda. So he wants to give his report. I was sick.
Okay.
And they sent the agenda out, so we can do him in a little bit.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any more discussion on this? If not, vote 5-0 in favor. John Don keeps losing her voice here and stuff, so yeah. But do we want them on the agenda now?
Yeah, if we can.
Okay.
I think he just wants to get his report.
Do we have to make an addendum and vote on that?
What?
The Valley Community Park.
Do we have to vote on that to add them?
Add them to the agenda?
I neglected to get him on because I was sick the last few days and I haven't worked with the agenda, and I think Michelle said.
Blue Valley Community Health?
Oh.
Yeah.
Community Action. I think he wants just to give his annual report.
Yeah. Okay. Is there a timeline required on that?
Pardon?
You can vote to amend your agenda as an action item. It wouldn't be an
action. No action item.
No, it would be no action item.
And you could defer any discussion. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with it. But amend your agenda to allow it.
Okay. I'd like to amend the agenda to add Blue Valley Community Action today.
So they can give their report.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann, second by Lytle. Vote 5-0 in favor. Come on out.
All right, now?
Yep.
Don, you were sick last year. What do you think?
I know. I can't really
hear
it right now.
Rupture.
You're
kidding.
No. Not been fun.
Is Norbert responsible for this?
Yeah, I think so.
Are you, sir?
Just fine.
No.
Thank you for adjusting that. I appreciate that. I was a little surprised.
I apologize. Because,
no problem. Believe me, I know how it goes. I had that, so I know what it's like.
I'd like to give it away to somebody.
This is our annual report. It covers our 50th anniversary year last year. And we like to report once a year to you folks so you know what we're up to. So I'm going to try to go through it quickly for you since, you know, you stuck us on the agenda here. So on page 2, you will see the board of directors, and we want to thank John's been a pretty good member for you guys and representing you well on our board. We appreciate that. As you can see on page 2, there's quite a few board members of Blue Valley. Our board is made up of 3 segments: the consumer segment, the public sector, which is county officials in all counties, and the private sector. And so we have quite a few members, since we have 9 counties and 3 per member, that's 27. Plus we also allow alternates, and we also allow what we call petition candidates who come in as ex officio members for organizations that feel they should be represented on our board. And the Head Start Policy Council is one. National Service Youth is another. And the third is a homeless representative. So we have a large board, and I think that's indicative of widespread involvement by the community. So I just wanted to point that out. We do have advocacy issues. You can see them listed at the bottom of the page. The board decides on what those will be. Starting on page 5 is all of our programs, and I'm not going to go through them all since the time is an element here. I do like to point out that emergency assistance is one of the things we offer. And since the county also has an assistance program, we oftentimes remind the county that they can send them to our offices first if they would like. It cuts down on cost for your public assistance if we can deal with it with private funds before you deal with the public funds. So just like to point that out. A lot of the other programs operate in certain counties, but not all. And I'll just keep going through them. We have a lot of programs on page 11 and 12 that deal with housing. And we're always looking at that. We haven't been building houses for the last 12 years, mostly because of the housing bubble. But we're getting to that point where we're getting ready to look at that again. So Head Start is on, and early childhood programs are on pages 13 and 14. And I want to introduce Sherry Wertzmiller. She used to be our Head Start and Children's Services Director, but she's now Deputy Director. And I think she'll be reporting to you from now on because I'm retiring next year after 40-some years at Blue Valley. So but you want to get to know her. She'll be a great replacement, and I hope you keep up the support you've given Blue Valley while I've been there with her. I think we helped the county out a lot, and I don't think we asked for that much considering what we provide. So I just thought I'd deal with it. The Rural Youth Initiative Program on page 16. This was a federal grant that went to the Children and Families Foundation of Nebraska, and they delegated part of it in this area, the whole of southeast Nebraska, to Blue Valley to operate. It was supposed to be a 5-year federal grant. The feds pulled out after 2 years because Congress changed the budget, and they lost that money. But the program has been very successful, working with kids from 14 to 24, and these are disconnected kids, people who might have been in trouble with the justice system, foster kids, kids who've been tossed out of the home for one reason or another by their parents, anybody who's disconnected from the community, disconnected from their families. And so we're trying to work with them, giving them various opportunities and trying to stabilize them and get them connected back to the community so they become a contributing partner in the community. And we're working with a lot of other local groups on this particular project. The fact that the federal funding went away, the original idea was the federal funding would be there for 5 years and then it would go away and we would continue. All this meant is we had to continue before the federal funding went away, and we will be doing that. So we get a lot of private support, and that will help us carry on. So foster grandparents program is based here in Beatrice, but it covers a lot of our area. That's on page 17 and 18 is the Friends of Blue Valley, which is like a volunteer bureau. It helps our programs primarily at this point, but the intent is to expand it to help any community program. And we do help a few others besides Blue Valley. But and then 19 and 20 are staff statistics. I'm still in the minority as far as the gender of the employees in our employ. Our staff stability is up there. The turnover rate is there. We would like to see that turnover rate get better, but as you can see, some of that is because of new openings. Some of that is internal transfers, but we do have too many resignations, and we need to work on that. I think it's primarily because of our salary levels aren't as high as we'd like. Pages 21 and 22 are our financial reports. I always want to point out the little revenues box that's, or pie chart rather, that's there. And note the little purple sliver of 1% of our budget. That is from local government support. That would be the counties and a couple cities who help out as well. As you can see, we get a pretty good return on you get a pretty good return on investment. If you look at the bottom little dot on that page, you'll see that for every dollar of county support, $162.04 comes back into the area. That's a fairly decent return on investment, and if I could find some place where I could invest myself into that, I would be doing to do so, but I haven't found that yet. So the only bad news on that page is, of course, that the total expenses were a little higher than the total revenues. This is a point-in-time kind of thing, so it's not like it's a serious problem. We do have reserves, but we would like the trend to go the other way. The blue rectangle there are the last three of our building projects for housing. These are separate corporations because our investors own 99% of that project, more than 99.9. As they get to the end of the 15-year period, which Prairie Woods is doing this year, and then Blue Terrace and York Crown will be later in later years. But as those get down to the 15-year period, the partnership usually dissolves and the private folks want out. And so they sell it to Blue Valley for, we've paid as little as $100 for an 8-unit apartment house and $5,000 for a bunch of homes. So we did have the out on Meriwether Street here in Beatrice. We had 17 houses out there. Well, one was on court, but the 16 houses, those came off a couple of years ago, and we would be selling them now if it hadn't been for some state delays. The state finally has okayed it, so now we're starting to get ready to sell those. The idea of those Crown projects is we built them with investors' help. The investors pull out after 15 years, and a lot of the regulations go off of that. The tenants become the first right to refusal to buy the properties. And so we have a and while they're renting, $50 every month went into an escrow account so that they have a down payment ready to go. And so that's the intent. And so we will be selling a few of those hopefully this year. And those would then go on the regular tax rolls, and they will no longer be on that policy the legislature passed that gives us a break on the taxes a little bit. But those are all coming off, and that's the when I talked about rebuilding, that's the kind of thing we normally build. We built a lot of eight-unit apartment houses. In Beatrice, we had 16 units, two eight-unit apartment houses before we built the 17 houses. And we will probably only build houses in the future. Apartment houses aren't as easy to turn, and they're not they're more trouble than they're worth in a lot of ways, but we do put a lot of people with low incomes into those, or not moderate incomes. They have to be working, however, to get into those, because they have to be able to pay their thing.
Rick, just to break in there for a second, as you move forward with houses here in our area, the city has a bunch of empty lots, and I'd encourage you to talk to them, see if I'm sure they would give you lots if you're looking to put a house up.
That always helps.
Getting the land for nothing, that doesn't hurt.
Certainly helps with the overall cost of a project. A lot of towns have contacted us about vacant lots, and in Beatrice, the city and in Fairbury, the city and local church contacted us, and now the FFA is involved as well. We're going to turn some of the empty lots into community orchards and put fruit trees on it. And this is just new, so it'll probably take 3 to 5 years for those to produce, but we're going to give that a shot. And if it works, then they can start infilling little orchards, and they're just going to be there for the taking. We're not going to organize any particular system. Somebody wants an apple, they can go get an apple, which shocked some of my board members because they thought there'd have to be a system, but we just said no system, just make it available to the community. All right, let's move along here. Did that answer your question? Okay. 50 years of community action. The next four pages are all a little bit of history of our organization since we started 50 years ago. If you're a history buff, this is all a lot of times is I enjoy this reading it, except I didn't care for the picture. It reminded me what used to be in that first page there. But then the last couple pages are our locations around the area, and our last page is acknowledgement of some of the people who have helped us over the years. We couldn't thank everybody because there's just too many of them. 73% of our contributors who volunteered to help us are low income themselves. And so that sort of adjusts the idea that they're not willing to work because 73% of them do volunteer. So and our clients, I didn't mention this before, but our clients are the working poor. Between the retired clients and the clients who are working, it makes up over 90% of our clientele. And so there's only a small handful that are either unemployed or on workforce insurance. There's two brochures in here. One is about our board of directors, and I usually point out the membership. You folks are entitled to an alternate on the board, which you have not filled at this point. Some counties do not fill it. Mostly those are the counties with three members, and they have so many other things to do, they don't bother to put an alternate on. But you folks have seven, and so if you would like to put an alternate on, you certainly are eligible to do that if you care to now in the future. That's the only position that's missing from Gage County. Otherwise, you're fairly well represented. In fact, our board chair is Terry Kessler, who is the private sector here from Gage County. And then the last brochure is about our programs, and it tells where they're all located at, because some of them are in some counties but not others. And so if you have any questions on that, I'd be glad to answer them. And on the back of that is also contact information for all our sites. So that was quick and dirty. I hope that gives you an idea where things are at. We have been very active. We are expanding some of our programs. And even though the public future public funding is a little in question, we are getting a lot more private support, so that's always helpful. Questions? Thank you for your time. Don, we'll get you our annual request packet in the future. Okay, thank you.
Thank you much.
Move to place the report on file.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Hill. Vote 5-0 to replace the report on file. Thank you. Discussion on fiscal year 17-18 budget.
I put this on just because in the past Matt has asked that I have it on each meeting. I can tell you that I've sent out the budget forms to all our local offices. I have all but maybe a couple returned. We'll just start moving forward. You. So get to
it. He said not to fill it out because he didn't have any wages on it.
The wage part.
Oh, I misread that.
You give me the rest of it, and I'll get that in. So, you know, we can start moving forward as soon as Lori hasn't balanced yet, so I don't have the revenues.
Don't have the revenues yet, so
that's
something here in the next couple months, particularly probably in August, we will get into it more, into the budget. Gary?
And you were saying earlier you're happy to report that everybody's cutting their budgets pretty good so far?
How big of cuts are there?
Really big, because there's no salaries on any of them. Huh. So they're really big right now.
Good job, Gus.
No, I did talk about it a little bit at committee meeting. I'll bring that up just a little bit. I hope I have the right year-ending numbers here. The budget we adopted for the jail, boarding was $100,000 and medical was $60,000. We ended up spending $190,555 for boarding, outside boarding, and we ended up spending $102,484 for medical treatment for prisoners. We transferred in $60,000 for boarding and $45,000 for medical, or $105,000 we transferred in there to cover those increase in cost. If you would take out, if you would take in, I call it back figuring or whatever, the extra increase that we put in there, that $105,000, and if you'd take that much out of the final expenses that we had for contract boarding and medical treatments, they were actually a little bit over $5,000 under their budget. So all of the increases that we put in there were to cover those two items. The outside boarding, which that's one we don't have no control over, and also the medical we don't have no control over. The unfortunate thing is the last few years those have been going up. That's the unfortunate thing in the county. We try to estimate when we set the budget, we try to put in there some numbers that we kind of plan on that being pretty close, but things happen throughout the year that we have no control over. So the jail budget would have been in line outside of those two items.
And something to keep in mind on those as well, even though that's a lot of money for outside boarding, that's still a fraction of the cost per day per prisoner of what it costs us to hold those prisoners here ourselves. So even though that's a lot of money, and People hear that and see and hear it's a lot of money. It's still a lot less than if we held them ourselves, if we were capable, which we aren't. But even if we were capable, it's far less money.
We don't have capacity here to hold them. Our jail isn't that size, and we realize that. But those are just some numbers. But as we go forward with the budget, I'm sure we'll look at to see if those line items need to be increased next year in that part of the budget. So. Discussion on contracts with City of Beatrice, EMS, and 911. I think we handed those out last time. I put those on here just so that we talk a little bit more about them, I guess. I want to hit the EMS one first. That I think most of our discussion and the discussion we had with the city was that we weren't going to increase that funding. But part of the discussion was instead of going from a one-year one to a three-year contract. Leaving the funding the same every year. That way, instead, we've been trying to get these out every year. We didn't get them out here yet before July 1st, but sometimes we get them back and we're partway through the year. So that I think next meeting we'll have that on the agenda to change those so we can send those out and have those EMS contracts with the other cities also, City of Beatrice and those others, unless somebody has opposition to it, but we can have that discussion next meeting. We'll try and maybe put those as a three-year contract going forward. Then the other one is, and I didn't have my contract with me. Been reading along here this morning.
The
911. The 911, okay. Everybody should have had, we gave a copy of that. Tobias sent that up, some of the discussion we had about some of the changes. And next meeting we'll have this on the agenda maybe then again to have discussion and a possible vote. They did make some in that. It's also, it has some of the corrections that we made. Part of what we wanted to talk about on this all too was with the trailer, and I'll see when we can get a meeting with Bruce or some of those, Bruce and Tobias, maybe with maybe three of us to go down. And so we included one new paragraph in here for that trailer, that communication trailer, but at our committee meeting we had more discussion on that and some concerns about making sure that that maybe is in this contract the way we would like it or whatever. So we'll try in end of this week or next week. I'll see when we can set up a meeting and maybe two or three of us can go down there and talk to them about the trailer and stuff. So, but otherwise the funding... I know that decreased, we pay part of the director's salary down there. We decreased that part of the funding, but they increased a part for basically technology helping with our sheriff's department. That was a new part in here and stuff. So everybody, next meeting we'll have that on there for a discussion and possible vote and approve or disapprove. This agreement, we don't have to approve it yet. We can always delay it another 2 weeks, but everybody get a chance to look at it and ask questions, I guess. So,
and that's something that was the sheriff, you talked to them and helped negotiate that so that the IT person or the technology person, that was something you wanted to work into it?
Well, he brought it up. Our meeting, I really had to say it. He threw it out there. I'm just coming. He's going to try to, they're going to pull screens on the floor and try to get somebody else. Whoever used the facility would have to pay a percentage of that. But that was an extended conversation I had with him. So.
We can have that too. If we'll see who it works. We'll go down there, and if you want more discussion with them, we can sure have that on them.
Is that something we should have to share with us on? Or
that'd be good.
I mean, I don't understand the inner workings of their.
It'd be good to have Gus along here. I'll see when we can get one lined up, maybe Monday or Tuesday or something. So. Anything else? If not, we'll move on. Like I said, we'll have that on. We don't need to approve it in the next meeting, but we need to at least get it on there and stuff so that we can start ironing some of those details or questions that we have. Anything else? Otherwise, we do have a closed session for some personnel.
Did you want to accept that resignation?
Oh, we need to put an agenda item on.
Just for the record.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're talking about the emergency managers, correct?
Yeah.
Approved to accept the resignation of the emergency manager, Tim Stutzman.
Second.
Effective last day July...
No, I think it's July 14th.
July 14th, 2017. July 14th.
Lytle and...
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Thiemann. Vote. 5-0 in favor. There will not be any decisions coming out of the closed session. Entertain a motion to go into closed session at 9:41 on the clock necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Thiemann, seconded by Lytle. Vote. 5-0 in favor.
Okay.
Aaron on the floor.
10:53 on the clock. I entertain a motion to come out of closed session.
So moved.
Second.
A motion by Lytle, seconded by Juergens. Vote. 5-0. Anything else for the good of the order?
Move to adjourn at 10:53.
Second.
Bauman usually
vote. Motion by Lytle, second by Thiemann. Vote 5-0. Okay, there they got it.
You might, for the record, know that Bauman voted against that.
Bauman voted against that. Yeah.
You said at 10:53 that was when you made that motion.
Yeah, okay. Sure was.